Gang, we've been talking about prayer now for about 3 weeks, and this is our fourth week talking about prayer and the necessity of prayer and why we need to have prayer in our lives. And this week we're looking at this little phrase called being devoted to prayer. And when you hear the words being devoted to prayer, some of us, I'm sure, we have different images that pop in our minds. We've experienced different things that cause those images to pop in our minds. Some of them just may be presuppositions. We just think we know what being devoted to prayer is about. But maybe we've had experiences in the past, and so these images come in. Some of us, when we hear the words being devoted to prayer, may think of a group of people sitting in a circle. And you have to share your deepest, darkest secrets with people you've never met before. And if you don't, you're not devoted to prayer. Nobody can pray for you. So you got to open up before you know anybody. Some of us, we may think of another circle where we're sitting there and people are just murmuring. You know, somebody's voicing a prayer and you got all these other people. It sounds like they're trying to pray right along with them, and you hear all these different things. And maybe that's what we think of when we hear a life devoted to prayer. Some of us may have an image of a group sitting around or standing up or whatever, and they're shouting out their prayers. And the louder they shout, the more God's going to hear them. And they'll pray in that way. And then they get into these theological debates through their prayer. Have you ever heard that? Where people, they try and show how much Bible knowledge they got more than the other person. They try and outpray each other. I don't know if you've heard that. I've seen that. And so we get into these prayer battles, and people start battling each other instead of battling their true enemy, Satan. And so we have all these different images when we think of being devoted to prayer. Some of you may have the image of a person going away to a quiet place all alone, hot cup of coffee, their Bible, their reading glasses, their journal, and they're just going out someplace to be all alone. Maybe that's what you think of when you think of living a life devoted to prayer. Some of you may be sitting here going, well, whenever I hear the words devoted to prayer, some of us may ask, why? Why live a life devoted to prayer? Why spend all my time and energy praying, talking to some figure that I can't even see, that I can't touch, that can't touch me? Why spend my time? You know, God doesn't listen anyway. Or maybe we say, God's already got his mind made up. Doesn't matter what I say. It's just some old kind of thinking, some old school stuff, praying. Maybe whenever we hear the words devoted to prayer, some of us may be saying, you know, we may just be kidding ourselves. You know, we think we live this life devoted to prayer. You know, maybe we think, well, I pray before every meal, so I live a life devoted to prayer. Or, hey, I pray every night before I go to bed so that I can have a good conscience, so that I can sleep uninterrupted. Maybe we think that's living a life devoted to prayer. I pray every time I get in my car and turn the ignition on. Well, if that's you, I want to find somebody else to ride with if you got to pray before you drive every time. It's not a bad practice, but if that's where you're at, I'll get right with somebody else. Whenever we hear the words devoted to prayer, some of us may become overwhelmed. I don't have enough time in the day to live a life devoted to prayer. I don't have any place to go to live a life devoted to prayer. I don't have the support at home to live a life devoted to prayer. Well, we've spent the last couple of weeks discussing the urgency of God's people returning to Him in prayer. And we've looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 as a passage to kind of focus our attention on this idea of prayer. And there 1 Peter 4, 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." And we've talked about what that idea of being clear-minded and self-controlled, both of them two different Greek words, they both mean purposeful, causing us to pay attention, to do something intentionally. And then the Greek word for the word prayer is that word prosuke, and it means to make requests, to talk to speak to God. So we've said that we're going to put it this way, and so here's the statement I hope you've been carrying with you for the last couple of weeks. God wants us to be purposeful when we prosuke. He wants us to be purposeful when we pray. Prayer isn't a foregone thought. I mean, it's not something that we should just say, well, you know what, yeah, I'll just pray about it. Prayer needs to be something that we're extremely purposeful about. And I hope that in the last couple of weeks that we've encouraged you to be more mindful of your praying, to be more purposeful when you pray, to pray specifically about things, to get on just a level field with God, just bearing it all before the Creator. You know, being honest with where you're at and being mindful of the way we pray. Today I want to spend some intentional time talking about living a life that is devoted to prayer. And so if you got your Bibles, I want to ask you to open up to the book of Acts. And we're going to be in chapter 1, three verses that we're going to look at this morning. Acts chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. And if you've read Acts, you may have read this many times, and maybe you've done like I have. I've just hurried over it before. It kind of stood out to me this time. It says in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, Acts 1:12. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one of those Bibles from the chair in front of you. Open it up so that we can be in the Word together. Acts 1, verse 12 says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem," and the "they" there is the disciples. Okay, they'd watched Jesus ascend into heaven, and he's now at the right hand of God, and the disciples were standing there, and they were just awestruck, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter. And we know who Peter is. We know who John is. We know who James is. There's Andrew, there's Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Constantly, they were praying, verse 14 says. And that word constantly, it's the Greek word proskeretero, and it means to hold on to. It means to adhere to. It's like super glue or duct tape. It's what you just got to hang on to it. You can't let go of it. And the New American Standard Bible, NASB, it says it this way. It says in verse 14, it says, "These all with one mind," there's unity, "all these with one mind were continually devoting themselves." You're not just devoted once. It doesn't mean you just pick a day, you go out and you pray for 5 hours. That's not the picture that's painted here. It's continually being devoted. There's a difference. Every day my life must be preoccupied by spending time with the Creator in this hard work of prayer. And oftentimes it looks like just being still, allowing God to speak to us. There was an urgency in the lives of these people. And they made this thing prayer. They made it a priority in their lives. They were about this hard work. And the church is remarkable in the first century. It blows me away how they relied on this work of prayer all throughout. And so I want to share some examples with you through the book of Acts about how the church and about how individuals in the church that were key people in the church, how they were dependent upon prayer. So in Acts chapter 1, in verse 15 and following, the believers prayed for guidance in making all their decisions. They came together, not one or two, but the church came together, and they prayed together about any decisions they had to make. And here's something else they prayed for. They prayed for courage to witness, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts 2 and in Acts 3 and in Acts 6, they prayed. Praying was a part of their daily ministry to one another. That was just a part of their daily ministry. Stephen, he prayed as he was being stoned to death. Looked up and he prayed. Peter and John prayed for the Samaritans, the people that were despised. Saul of Tarsus, he prayed at his conversion. Became Paul, as you know him, in Acts 9. Peter prayed before he raised Dorcas from the dead in Acts 9. Cornelius prayed that God would show him how to be saved in Acts 10. And then Peter was up on the housetop and he was praying to God in Acts 10. And God showed Peter how to talk to Cornelius, how to answer Cornelius' prayers. You can be really close to each other physically, and it takes prayer to help us get together to meet each other's needs sometimes. The believers in John Mark's house, they prayed for Peter when he was in prison. And the Lord delivered them from prison in Acts 12. The church over in Antioch, they fasted and they prayed before sending out Barnabas and Paul. Before they sent people on their missionary journey, they fasted and prayed. It was at a prayer meeting in Philippi that God opened Lydia's heart and her household, and she accepted the gospel message. It was also at another prayer meeting in Philippi when God opened the prison doors and allowed his disciples to be released. Paul prayed for his friends before leaving them. He bid them farewell through prayer. They were devoted to prayer. And in the midst of a storm, Paul prayed that God would bless them. And after the storm, he prayed that God would heal the sick man that was there in Acts 28. The first century church was preoccupied with prayer. They went to prayer before they went to anything else. The first thing they did was pray for one another. It wasn't a last resort. It wasn't the last arrow in their quiver. It was the first one drawn because they knew they needed to connect with the Creator of heaven and earth. They knew they needed to rely on their daddy, their Abba, as Jesus invites us to pray to him. It's about a relationship. When kids are scared, a lot of times the first one they run to is dad. Dad's usually a little stronger than mom. Usually represents protection in the household, usually. I've met some women that could drop some men in a hurry. I've met some men that need to be dropped by their women. But usually it's the father that is the one that's represented as strength. And so the first century church, the first thing they did is they ran to dad. They ran to him and they wanted him to protect them. They wanted him to guide them, lead them. In almost every chapter in the book of Acts, you find reference to prayer. You find church people spending time praying. And this is certainly a good lesson for the church today. It's something we need to make sure, not just the leadership, but all of us. It's something we as a church need to make sure. And it's something that we as a leadership need to make sure that we encourage to happen. But it's something that we need to be doing. Prayer is both the thermometer and it's also the thermostat. You've probably heard that before. Prayer is the thermometer. It's the thermostat for church health, for the local church, for the spiritual temperature in that church. It either goes up or down depending on how God's people pray. If your church is cold, pray. Turn the thermostat up so the thermometer can read a warmer temperature. We've got to depend on prayer. John Bunyan, some of you may know his work, Pilgrim's Progress. In there he said, prayer is a shield to the soul. It's a sacrifice to God. It's a scourge to Satan. In the book of Acts, you see prayer being accomplished in all these things. Are you using prayer in your life in that very same way? Are you using prayer as a shield for your soul? Are you using it to scourge Satan? Are you using it as a sacrifice to God? Why do we need to do this? Because the church and the people in the church need to be a people that are devoted to prayer. Devoted to spending time with the Creator. And when we are devoted to something, we give ourselves to it completely. In other words, we make it a top priority. And is prayer a top priority in your life? Real, serious, hard-working kind of prayer. I had a friend that was telling me, and if I shared this with you earlier, I don't apologize because I think it's worth saying again. But I had a friend that was telling me this. He said that he was talking to a friend of his who was over in China. And while he was there, they were in China, you know, it's not legal to worship Jesus. And you can be persecuted severely. Your tongue can be cut out. All kinds of things could happen to you. So you guys have it pretty easy. Coming, going to church as you wish. But these folks, they travel days. They travel days to come to these house churches. And this group of folks were together and they were They were being persecuted. And so this missionary guy, he says, what can we do? And they said, well, what we need to do is pray. That's where they started. And so they got down on their hands and knees and they put their faces on the ground and they began praying. And this missionary was astonished. He said, when we stood up, there were puddles of tears on the floor, puddled up because people were praying. They were devoted to praying to God. They were crying out to their Father. That's a life that's devoted to prayer. If you look around this world, if you look around this town, it should break your heart in such a way that tears flow from your eyes. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be emotional, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. But if you start to take the view of God through the way our culture looks, it'll break your heart. And the way we get there is by spending time, by being a people devoted to prayer. My prayer personally is that we become a church that prays, that we become a church devoted to prayer. Each month, we have a prayer service, and that prayer team works really hard. They spend a great deal of time putting together different thoughts for us to spend time praying about. But very few people show up. Maybe 25 or so will show up for that. I know you don't have to come to a prayer meeting to be a person of prayer. I know that. But it's a time where we come together corporately to talk to our Creator, to talk to our Father. I really hope we're not leaving the praying of this church in the hands of only 25 people. It's something we have to be devoted to, which means it is a top priority. It's primary in our lives. God wants us to be purposeful, which means it has to be a priority in our lives. He wants us to be purposeful when we prosuke. Why does He want us to be purposeful? I want to look at that real quick. First of all, I believe God wants us to be purposeful when we pray so that we can be devoted to prayer, because prayer promotes unity. He wants us to be devoted to that unity. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see, when Jesus, when He started the Lord's Prayer, He said, our Father. He didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father. We pray as a part of a great big family that comes together to talk to our Father. And we ought to pray for other members in our family. Even Paul asked for the prayer support of the Ephesians. He needed it. If Paul needed the prayers of the saints, I know I need the prayers of the saints, of you folks here. And you need my prayers. We need each other's prayers. That's part of being a member of that family. If my prayers help another believer defeat Satan in the victory, then that victory will help me too. If we can stand up and resist the temptations that Satan throws out before us through prayer, through praying for each other, that helps us too, because it does help to create the unity that we need. Note that Paul did not ask them to pray for his comfort. He didn't ask them to pray for his safety, but he asked them to pray for the effectiveness of his witness for the kingdom of God. And that's just where our prayers grow. It grows beyond looking at me, but praying for the kingdom, kingdom work to be done. Not just my health, not just my finances, not just my emotional stability. Prayer, being devoted to prayer, means we start to look out beyond the self and we truly start to pray about the kingdom needs. What's God wanting to do? And if I'm spending my time praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ and about their effectiveness for the kingdom, then I don't have time and I don't have energy to constantly talk bad about them. If you can talk bad about people, it's probably because you're not spending time praying for them. You know, and so we, as we pray for people, we start to see the better in people. My desire will be that we be a church that truly promotes unity between us so that the kingdom of God will be advanced. so that the bride of Christ doesn't look stained or wrinkled or have any other blemishes. See, God wants us to be purposeful when we prosuke. Why do we need to be devoted to prayer? Well, I think prayer places us in the center of God's will. The Bible tells us to pray and we should obey God's word. I believe that. This text, along with many others throughout Scripture, says be devoted to prayer. Or spend your time being devoted to prayer, continually praying, constantly praying, praying without ceasing. That's what places us in the center of God's will. If we're not, then we're being disobedient to the Scriptures. And personally, I think that's dangerous to just disobey the Scriptures. If prayer doesn't come easy for you, then consider yourself normally fallen. Consider yourself a normal sinner. Consider yourself normal with the rest of us. Because prayer doesn't always come easy. Prayer is hard. It can be very awkward. But as you devote yourself to it, over time it starts to become natural. It starts to be a part of who you are. You start to miss it when you're not spending time in it. So don't let your sins, don't let weaknesses and worldly inclinations rule you. God says, be devoted to prayer. And then you got to fight for it. You got to work at it. The early believers, they were devoted to prayer, and we should be as well. Being devoted to prayer does not mean that we're trying to twist God's arm, but rather that we are deeply concerned about the things that God is concerned about. We're burdened. We can't rest until we get God's answers. Robert Law, I used this last week, but it was Robert Law that said this in a book called Tests of Life. He says, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth. That's what we desire, God's will to be done on earth. Jesus even prays this, teaches us to pray this. Most of us quit praying just before God's ready to answer because we're not willing to be patient and wait upon God. Because when we stop praying, and when we stop praying, we stop seeking after God. We stop seeking His will to be done. And so we have to keep on praying until the Spirit stops us or until the Father answers the prayer. And just about the time it seems like that we feel like quitting, God gives us that answer. Like when they were huddled up together praying for the disciples to be released from prison in Philippi. Feel like quitting. About then, God answers in some way. See, God wants us to be purposeful when we prosuke. So why be devoted to prayer? I believe prayer promises joy. When you're walking in the center of God's will, joy is a natural byproduct of that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful. Always. It's God's will for you. We have to be in God's will, and we are in God's will by living a life that's devoted to prayer. So I believe that prayer, being devoted to prayer, promises joy for the believer. God wants His people to be joyful. He desires us to be joyful. He's our dad. He's our Father in heaven. And He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have a life of joy. And being in His will gives us every reason to have a life of joy. Paul knew human nature well enough to sense the need for a reminder to rejoice at all times. This is a command. It's not a request. It's a command. Be joy-filled. Be joyful. A Christian's joy does not come from our circumstances, or it shouldn't. It comes from blessings, the blessings that are ours because we have a relationship with Christ. And if a person is devoted to prayer, praying continually, being in constant fellowship with God, they will not be able to contain the joy that they have. And the reason is because we're hanging around our Father in heaven. Have you ever had those people in your life that when you just hang out around them, you just have joy because they're around you? I've got a great uncle. Well, I had a great uncle from Alabama And I loved him. Uncle Bub. Loved that man. He lived in Birmingham, and he would come up twice a year, every year when I was a kid. And I remember being so excited every time he'd come. Because he was the kind of person that just made you feel good about yourself. He always made you smile, always made you laugh. He loved Jesus, and he just constantly made you feel good about yourself. His kids kind of have that same thing. They can make you feel good about yourself. But Uncle Bub, he was good at it. And I miss that. I miss that about him. See, we're not commanded to be happy all the time. It's impossible to be happy 24/7. And the reason it's impossible to be happy 24/7 is because life happens. Things happen. Bills come. Friends die. Spouses cheat. Parents lie. Children disobey. And life happens. And so it's impossible to be happy 24/7, but that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be joyful. It's a peace. It's a peace that comes because we have spent time with God in the hard work of prayer. And we know that no matter what comes our way in life, that if we're devoted to prayer, if we're devoted, really being devoted to prayer means I'm going to be devoted to spending time with God. And so if we're devoted to that, no matter what comes our way, we can embrace it with joy. So spend some time this week with the Creator, praying for joy. Ask for it. God wants to lavish it on His children. I believe that with all my heart. God wants His people to be joyful, and He gives us every reason to be. And if He wants us to be joyful, maybe we should just ask Him to help us be joyful. Sharon Setzer, some of you may get her emails, many of you may not, but at the end of her emails, she always puts this, make it a great day. And I love that, because you make the choice to make it a great day or not. I tell my kids when we drop them off at school, we say, you guys have a great day, and where's a great day start? It starts in the mind. You make the choice. The circumstances of life they're going to impact us, yes. But they should not rob us of our joy. We can still have joy. And it changes the way you are. Would you rather be around a person that's grateful for everything or a person that's griping about everything? And which person do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that's grateful for everything or the person that's griping about everything? Do you want to be around a person that's delightful? No matter what happens, they're just a delightful person to be around. Is that the kind of person you want to be? Or would you rather be around a person that's degrading to everybody and everything? Nothing's good enough. Well, they don't have joy. You want to be around a charming person, someone that has genuine charm and charisma because they care about other people? Or do you want to be around callous people that just don't care? And which kind of person do you want to be? You make that choice. You choose. And it's a lot easier. It's really only done, I believe, by spending time with God in prayer, being devoted to a life of prayer. So you make up your mind. What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of person has God called us to be? He's called us to be grateful people, delightful people, charming people. Keep reading in Ephesians. Read the fruit of the Spirit. That's the kind of person that we're supposed to be. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, those kinds of things. That's the mark of a Christ follower. That's the mark of someone that spent time with God. Is that what your life looks like? That's the question you need to ask today. That's the question we all need to ask. Philippians 4:4-7, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. This is a man that's in chains, in prison. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The reason the Lord is near is because Paul's devoted to prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be purposeful when we prosuke. So why be devoted to a life of prayer? One final thought. I think prayer points out our needs. We have needs. The believers in Acts knew that they needed to pray and that their needs would be provided for. Jesus had promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he would lead them in their work of advancing God's kingdom on this earth. They knew that they needed the Spirit of God in their lives so that they could go out and do the work. And so what they did is they rolled up their sleeves and they started doing this hard work of prayer. And that's where we're at in our text today. They're praying. They've come together to pray. They're devoted constantly in prayer. The needs in our own life, in our own families, and in this church, and churches around this country and around this world, world missions, our culture at large, they're desperate, and they're desperate for prayer. And we can go to God in prayer. One of the greatest obstacles to praying is that it's just too routinely smooth for many of us. And I'm talking about churches in this country, churches in this culture. It's like when I was in Desert Storm. Many of us were up in the front, and Christmas time came, and so some of us, what we had for our Christmas dinner, so think about this next time you complain about somebody's mashed potatoes being too dry. What we had for Christmas dinner was pistachios. I dropped the ramp on the tank I was in. I sat out under the stars, and I was eating pistachios right there on the tri-border of Kuwait, Saudi, and Iraq, 1990. Christmas of 90. And I was furious because about 3 weeks later, I heard all this complaining from these guys in the rear because the potatoes were cold and the turkey wasn't quite as moist as what they were used to when they were home. And the big one that got me was that at New Year's, they didn't get the full game. They didn't get to watch all the bowl games. Give me a break. You guys have it too easy. You get complaining about the little things. And you forget about what our mission is. And that happens in our churches in America. We forget what our mission is. Our mission isn't to come to church to be comfortable. Our mission is to advance the kingdom of God, not our own kingdom. And so we have to remember that. The battlefront is way out there sometimes for us in these churches. And we forget that we're in a great spiritual battle. A cosmic battle. I don't know if you believe that or not, but it's true. We are in a cosmic battle. The battlefront's out there. And oftentimes we spend our time in this tiny little bubble of peace and contentment. And all is well, and we forget that we have brothers and sisters that worship the same Jesus we do over in China that are losing their lives this morning because they worship and proclaim the name of Christ. We become unconscious, I believe, sometimes to the spiritual battle going on around us. Prayer points out our need to rely more on the Holy Spirit of God than ourselves or anyone else. Jesus taught us to come like children to the Father. He introduced us to God as Abba, Dad. And the Father protects us. A couple of weeks ago, we had a storm that came through. It's been several weeks now, but there was a storm that came through. There was lightning and there was thunder. And my youngest son, Ian, he woke up and he came. And, you know, I don't know where kids learn to do this, but they come and they stand right there in your face when you're sound asleep. And it scares the everything out of you. And they're standing right there. And I woke up and there he is right there in my face. And I jump and I'm like, "What's the matter, buddy?" And he was like, "Well, the storm scared me." And I was like, "You want to lay with Dad for a few minutes?" And so he climbs in. You know, I'm starting to feel pretty good. The storm wakes my little boy up, and I'm used for something here. And he's laying there, and started feeling pretty tough, you know. And I'm like, "So you came in here because you knew Dad could protect you from the storm, didn't you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then he paused for about, I don't know, probably 3 or 5 seconds. And this is where kids can really put you in your place. And he rolled over. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He rolls over and he looks at me. He's like, "But Dad, only God can stop the lightning and the thunder. You can't do anything about it, can you?" And I'm like, "No, can't, but I'm here. I'm here for you if you need me." So, you know, kids can put us in our place, but God wants to protect us that same way. And we can go to Him just like that at any time. God wants us to come to Him with an attitude knowing that He and He alone is in control of our needs and to realize that we truly need Him. There's a hymn that I love, this hymn. It says, "I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh."